football.
Hey, we're going to get back to the show in just a second, but a quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated is here to help business owners, and they've been helping business owners in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years during pandemic periods and non-pandemic periods. It really just helps tremendously to have an insurance company that gives you peace of mind as you navigate the challenges of running a business. When you partner with Federated, you get more than just a policy. You benefit from over a century of experience in making businesses as successful as they can be. Visit federatedinsurance.com to find your local representative. And remember, at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Kaprizov fights off the check. Out to the line, Brodin, a drive, got through, save quick. Kaprizov on the wraparound, he scores! Eric Sinek to Fiala in the corner. He works free from the curve and centers. Eric Sinek, save by Quick. Eric Sinek again, he scores!
And welcome into Mackie and Judd. Happy Monday. Phil out today doing some things out and about. So it is Mackie and Judd. Today is Zolgad and a producer or executive producer, excuse me.
Oh, it's not official yet. Easy.
Oh, what the hell?
It's not
just call yourself executive producer. Take the title.
There's no pen to paper yet.
I can hold out.
Franchise tag.
I'm going to tell you right now. Pen to paper. Overrated. Everything gets reported early now, okay? So this whole, if you wait until you get that official pen to paper, I won't be able to say executive producer till like July, okay?
All right.
So I'm going with it right now. Declan Goff, Zolgad.
All right, well, I mean, there might be a signing bonus. Here. I'm not, just like Anthony Barr.
I'm not asking for particulars. I'm just trying to give you the title.
I'm not interested in a restructure at this point in my career. You know, I'm trying to get my first long-term deal, and it looks like that's happening, but I still got to get my agent and management to work that out. But we'll see what happens.
You are a young guy, up and coming. The contracts for you are just starting.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that sort of sound like? Let's see. Up-and-coming young player, superstar, superstar talent. No question about it when we're talking Declan Goff.
No.
Superstar talent. Great salad.
Yeah.
Great salad.
Yeah, great hair.
Good hands. Now, your hands are on the board.
Hands are okay.
No, but I mean, on the board, you're good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm good here.
With your job. I'm not talking about anything else.
Okay.
This guy's hands are outstanding as well on the ice. Let's just say when Mackie is away, the hockey boys will play.
Kaprizov fights off the check.
Play.
Out to the line, Brodin, a drive, got through, save quick. Kaprizov on the wraparound, he scores!
Now we're going to get to statements on a Monday. Lots to talk about. The Gophers somehow lose to Nebraska after losing to Northwestern, okay? So we got that going. We've got a lot of things in statements, but before we get to statements, I want to reserve some time to lead the show with the hottest team in town, and it's not even close.
Right.
Okay? So, like, this is fair game now, and I fully get hockey fans are passionate. They are more of a cult, and I'm one of them. I'm in that cult.
We're both there.
But the one thing that takes any team in this town to another level, right, is success. And when you've won six consecutive games, and dare I say right now Justin Jefferson might challenge him. Dare I say right now,
I believe
Kirill Kaprizov is the most exciting athlete in this town. And the Wild just swept not a bad Kings team.
No.
They're not great, but they're not a train wreck. On Friday and Saturday at the X, they, for a split second, before the Golden Knights got done with their game on Saturday, moved into first place in the West Division. They're second now, but they're going to play the Golden Knights tonight on Monday night and then again on Wednesday in Vegas. It's very easy to talk about this team, and I want to start with the guy who is the absolute key, okay?
Yep.
And I wrote you this note in our prep notes last night, and it's pretty cool. I wrote you, what more can you say about Kirill Kaprizov, which was very quickly followed up with, in my words, the amazing thing is there is more.
Yeah.
Like, it's Declan, and I do not think that I am a super fan of teams here. People will tell you I am a very negative guy at times. And I don't think that I am often guilty of hyperbole about players.
No, you're not. You don't hand out compliments left and right.
But what more can you say? And then I watch this kid play more. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know if it continues. I don't know where this goes. I think it probably does because I think he's that good. But all of that being said, it is impossible not to look at what this guy has done in what, his first 18 games. And then especially since coming back from the team's COVID break, in which he's been paired with Zuccarello and Rask, and not absolutely positively be really impressed by what he brings in every potential facet, I think, of the game.
Yeah, he's damn good, dude. I mean, the last five games, he has points in every single one of them, 17 points in 18 games this year. We all kind of figured he was one of the favorites for the Caldier Trophy. I think everyone, and that wasn't a local angle, that was a national angle. Everyone knew that he'd be one of the favorites to win the Caldier. Right now, he looks like he's going to probably win it. And that's not to sell short Kaapo Kähkönen either, who probably is making a significant case as well, who's playing very well in net. But with Kirill, I mean, my God, the cycling, it's one thing watching him cycle around, and it's now getting contagious. When you and I were at the game on Friday, you saw other players starting to cycle around. It's almost like, wait, I want to try and do this. Now, Kirill can only do it, or can do it way better than anyone else can. Zach, you're not going to be cycling up around the net and going back and forth.
We're going high, too.
Yeah. But 18 minutes a night. And look, it's okay also to say, Kirill, shoot that puck just a little bit more. It's totally okay to say that. He's got 11 assists. He has 6 goals. He's cashing in on the goals when he puts it on net. That doesn't mean that it's a bad thing to ask him, you know what, Kirill? If you shoot it even more, you're not just going to be a point for game player. You're going to score 30 or 40 goals.
Yeah.
And and I think your comparison of calling him Diet Patty Kane is pretty damn accurate. He's Diet Patrick Kane. And if Patrick Kane is the ceiling for him, I mean, my God, this guy's the limit.
Yeah, to me, he is all the things. His game brings all of the things that Patrick Kane brings with his game,
mm-hmm.
Including that ability to score goals from high. But, like, he can be near the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him. So there's a combination about this kid that I absolutely love, okay? The combination is this. One, it starts with, yes, he has more God-given talent in his pinky than most players do in their entire body. Totally get that. That's the starting point. If you don't have that, you can't be him, all right? But the second thing is the diligence and the work. So what he is as well is, and I'm talking about this player in his prime, all right? Not right now.
Okay.
He is Zach Parise work ethic-wise in Zach's prime. Like, Zach was never this talented, but he worked his ass off, and he was a really good player. Mm-hmm. But think about what Kaprizov does along the boards, how many pucks he wins.
Yeah.
He goes in, like, he does work that a lot of star guys are like, oh, no, not today, not me. You know, you go get me that puck.
Yeah.
He goes and gets the puck. And the combination there that I think confirms his love for the game and his work ethic is the fact that in pregame warm-ups decks, he is always one of, if not the last guy off the ice.
Yeah,
And in the modern league, and this is going to sound like, oh boy, who cares? But I think it's actually an interesting note. In the modern league, mm-hmm. the majority of guys, so as that period where they're out on the ice warming up ends, the majority of guys probably leave the ice with, like, what, 50 seconds left?
Sure.
Like, very, like, when that horn sounds,
there's maybe a half dozen guys
exactly right
out there still. Yeah. Not the full 18.
I watched it on Friday and Saturday. It was Foligno. So the horn went, staying out there to shoot more and pass the puck back and forth. Kaprizov, Foligno. Might have been one more guy. But the point being is, like, this guy could easily just take off and be like, I'm done. But he doesn't. He clearly embraces elements of the game that probably a lot of star players don't necessarily embrace. They tolerate.
Yeah.
And when you bring what he does consistently, and there's one goal. So I want to talk about the goal that he scored the wraparound on Friday.
Yeah.
Because to me, that combines everything I'm talking about, and it's what's so damn impressive. So he gets the puck on in the King zone along the end boards. And first of all, there's two Kings along the sideboards. Kaprizov makes a pass to Brodin on the backhand and banks it off the boards and gets the puck to Brodin. Just as a starting point, that's an impressive pass. It's a really nice play.
Yep.
Brodin, to his credit, gets the puck and shoots. Quick makes the save, and Kaprizov gets the rebound, and I think he tried to shovel it home and just couldn't. So Drew Doughty.
One of the best
in a long time.
Yeah.
And a guy who clearly has been working his butt off this year, because I think a lot of people think that he's declining and he's trying to prove it that he's not. Drew Doughty has been on Kaprizov. He is not only on him on this particular play, but as Kaprizov tries to shovel the puck in, he basically jumps on his back. Like he's on his back. Like he's trying to do anything he can to stop him. Kaprizov takes the puck, wheels around the net, comes out on the far post, and before Quick can recover and get to that post, he wraps the puck in and scores.
Yep.
Think about every part of that play. Every part of that play demonstrates not only the talent, but the work. And that to me, and I think it's the work that impresses me, because he could probably get by and be a really good player solely on talent. But when you work that hard to score that goal, that's a wow. That is a you've got something very special here moment.
And when you look at his hockey reference page, and look, this is probably not accurate, but maybe it is. 5'9", 185 pounds. 5'9", 185 pounds. Not a big boy there for a hockey player. That's not, no. Is it standard? Sure, but not a big guy. And when we were talking about him in the preseason, we wanted to know, all right, we know the kid can shoot. Every Russian can shoot. Anyone that comes over from the KHL with his pedigree has a howitzer. Everyone knows that. Can he skate? Yes, he can clearly skate. Can he go in a dirty area and win a puck battle? Yes. Does he have the physical tools to cycle around the net and make everyone look silly from the defenseman to the goaltender? Yes. In my opinion, and we're going to get into statements later, but I really think he's the most impressive rookie the Minnesota sports scene has here. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
That's a bold statement.
You got guys like Justin Jefferson and Anthony Edwards who are playing damn well right now and are cornerstones for their respective franchise to turn things around. But watching Kirill Kaprizov, it's for the first time. The excitement when Parise and Suter signed in 2013 carried over, but there wasn't. It was the Wild were able to be. You were able to watch them again. It was fun to finally watch them again. But they weren't necessarily can't miss hockey. It was just, oh, thank God, the Wild are now relevant for the first time in about 5-6 years, and we can actually turn on and enjoy the game. No, he is worth watching alone. And then you have other guys like Kevin Fiala, who is having a dynamite season, and you kind of forget about him. He's the hotter stepchild that no one's talking about, because he's been putting up big points and putting up big moments, and he's putting himself in position to be successful. But you have Kirill the Thrill, who's overshadowing him, and that's good. By the way, I like that. It's not a rip on Fiala or Kirill. I think it's great that someone like Kevin Fiala is quietly playing pissed off and is able to still put up big points. Matt Zuccarello now finally benefiting with playing with someone like Kirill Kaprizov. Victor Rask's name I saw this morning on the Athletics top 25 trade candidates. Victor Rask cracks the top 25.
That's because you're playing with Kaprizov.
Because he's playing with Kirill. And yeah, after being basically a salary cap casualty and a press box, scratch for the majority of his Wild career,
yep,
all of a sudden Victor Rask has a role on this team. So, and that's, by the way, all because of the rookie Kirill Kaprizov.
He lifts everybody up.
Yeah.
On his line especially, but mm-hmm, elsewhere as well. To your point, guys see him. When he scored, so it was 0-0 second period on Friday when he scored the goal that I talked about, the wraparound goal. And Declan, you could feel, and there's basically, the building is empty, okay? Like kids, mm-hmm, what, 250 people or something like that. But I mean, the building, for the most part, empty. And you could feel just the bench itself for the Wild change.
Mm-hmm.
He scored that goal and the confidence just shot up. And you could feel it. Like, it was weird.
It's palpable.
But that's what happens when you... And Fiala is a very good player. He is very good. And at his best, he is a star. What he is, he's not a star every time. And by star, I mean superstar.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a superstar every time he steps on the ice. Kaprizov is.
Yeah.
Like they have, I can't articulate enough. Maybe Gabrick, but he was hurt and Jacques demanded that he played a defensive style.
Yeah.
Maybe Gabrick. I would say the Wild consistently has, in 20 years, never had this guy.
No, he has not existed.
Because Gabrick wasn't, if he was, he wasn't allowed to be this guy.
No.
This guy is a superstar. Even when he's not playing well, he can change things. I told you, after the first or second game, when the season started against the Kings,
mm-hmm.
he dictates pace of play. How he plays dictates what everyone else on the ice does and watches. And he is going to be, he is the, my number one thing of what has the Minnesota sports fan missed by not being able to attend games, my number one thing is him.
Isn't that crazy?
Jefferson's great to watch. The ballpark is great to be at.
Yeah.
All of those things. But hockey is the spectator sport where it's just nothing TV can do it justice.
No.
Kirill has the ability to, when he is on the ice, if you bought a ticket, I'm not so sure that you're going to watch the puck.
Right.
That's a really, really, really high compliment.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, I really love to hope that we are treading in the right direction. We're still a long ways out from getting life back to normal in COVID-19. But it's really too bad that the Wild finally have a very watchable product and a superstar that they can market. And the league is marketing him. The NHL has him on
the
head of their Twitter. I have one. I ordered one last night.
Did you really pay $50?
It was $30.
Oh, that's not bad.
$30. And I got a hat too. I got another hat too and the stuff out of it. But
so it's a soda stick, correct?
Yeah, soda stick.
Did the shirts, and it's what?
Kirill the Thrill with a silhouette of his face. It's great.
Oh yeah, no.
It's an awesome OT.
But yeah.
But
yes, he is that guy.
He is, and it's too bad, because I know Minnesota sports fans would love to see this kid, and even if you're not a big hockey fan, I mean, my God, you will. You sent the prep note that hockey is the one sport, it is the best in person of the four.
Oh, yeah, it's not even close.
Like football, it's the opposite.
Better on TV.
Football in person, I'm sorry, is awful. I don't enjoy football in person. At least I don't enjoy NFL or college.
It's just better on TV.
I don't enjoy NFL or college football in person. I like a good high school football game in person, but in general, it is a TV sport.
Yes.
Hockey in person, when you see Kirill, it is worth the price of admission. And I'm curious to see where this keeps going, Judd. They've won six in a row. Now they get the meat and potatoes, they get the big boys in the schedule. They got Vegas here on Monday night. I'm curious to see how they play against the big dogs, but I'm really bullish. I honestly think they're going to be a serious contender in the playoffs now.
I don't know. You know, I don't know that yet. And I am, because it's the Wild, I am so cautious.
Yes.
But what I can do is I can completely separate the one thing, which is the expectations now, and are they going, because they're going to go through a bad streak again too. I could separate that, and I could separate the fact that this kid is a superstar.
Yes.
And that's what I'm in on. That, I mean, this has been 20 years of, you know, Mike Modano came up as a North Star and they left town and he became a superstar in Dallas. Okay. But Declan, you don't get those guys. It's not like you always have one. You just don't. And the Wild experienced that for 20 years. 20 years, they didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And the North Stars had some great players, but I would not say that they always had certainly a superstar like this.
Oh, God, no.
So, you know what? The Wild, if they do well, it's good for us. It's more fun. That's awesome. I don't know what's going to happen in 2021. That being said, I do know that health provided and this kid can stay on the ice, this kid is a superstar.
Yes.
And he is can't miss TV. And for those of you right now screaming at our podcast because you don't get Kirill or Fox Sports North, I'm sorry about that.
Message me on Twitter. I can help you out.
And my advice to you is, and I actually tweeted this weekend, start calling the team. Because if you have a problem with this, guess who doesn't care?
Player Senator, yeah.
But the team, look.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, because there's two people that don't care, okay? No matter what Fox Sports North people say, Sinclair doesn't give a damn.
Nope.
Sinclair is fighting this fight on a national level. All right, let me bring Hulu to TV and YouTube and those streaming services, guess what they are fighting this fight on? A national level. This is not about Minnesota
they
sports.
They don't care about
Kirill Kaprizov. They don't care about the Minnesota Twins, okay? So if you want to apply pressure, I'm sorry. If you call Fox Sports North, they're going to take your complaint down. They're going to tell you, you know, YouTube TV is the devil.
Yep.
And they're going to have to ignore it because they're going to pass it along to somebody at national headquarters who's going to laugh and throw it in the garbage. The people that care are the teams. Call the teams. Contact the Wild, the Twins, the Wolves, if that's your cup of tea. I don't know why it would be, but if that is. But the point is, the losers here are you, the fan, and the teams, because you can't tell me for 1 second that the Wild is pleased saying, you know who can't see Kirill, Dollar Bill Kirill? A bunch of 25-year-old kids who we desperately want to see.
Yes.
Dollar Bill Kirill, who's 23 and you can identify with, all right?
Correct.
Play two from the weekend. I want to bring to your attention Declan Goff.
Okay.
Overtime, late in overtime, Saturday night. The Matt Zuccarello pass to Dumba. Dumba makes a great move on the goaltender, scores the goal. I believe there were 0.2 tenths of a second left.
Yep.
But I want to bring it back to your guy, Zuccarello.
Yes.
And I actually wrote about this, did a column last night at scorenorth.com. I still don't like the contract.
The
no move clause drives me crazy.
Yeah.
All of that does. That's fine. But this is who we expected now.
Yep.
And I don't know if it was the broken arm. I don't know if it was him trying to adapt after what he was with the Rangers for 9 years and then played the rest of the season 2 years ago in Dallas. I don't know what the reason is, but that pass was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
And let me also spin that off by saying this about hockey and the direction it's going and the fact that I think it can be compared to basketball in some ways. Basketball has 100% become, in a lot of ways, a positionless sport, right? Like, it just like, okay, I'm a point guard, which used to mean I would pass, but now I can shoot.
The centers, the power forwards aren't who they used to be.
Exactly.
Yep.
Zuccarello and Kaprizov make it possible for Rask, if this makes sense, to tag along because they are essentially centers.
Yeah.
And that pass, the no-look pass that I think went through a couple of Kings players to Dumba, was an example of just unbelievable center-like playmaking ability from a winger.
Yeah, Zuccarello, this is the guy that he was in New York. He was a big-time playmaker. He played with guys like Chris Kreider, who elevated him. He was able to basically lift the players up in a top six in New York for a very long time. He got here last year, got off to a nice start, and then around the New Year's time, he just hit a wall. I don't know what that was. I don't know if it was fatigue. I don't know if that arm injury started then. I really don't know the timeline of when that arm injury happened for Zuccarello, because you have to remember he missed the first dozen games or so of this season as well before he got on the ice. And in the last seven games, I mean, he's played in seven games. He already has 11 points, 3 goals, 8 assists. And, I mean, he's still being deployed in the offensive zone. He started in the offensive zone 56% of the time. Last year, it was 54% of the time. He's shooting a little bit more. He's averaging 2 shots a game, which is more what he was doing in New York, mm-hmm. where last year he wasn't shooting as much. But the majority of the reason of his uptake is he has someone like Kirill Kaprizov he's playing next to right now. I don't have his line mates in front of me from last year who he spent most of his time with, but I can just say confidently that there none of them who he spent the majority of his time with in 2019-20 were even close to the player that Kirill Kaprizov is. And same thing, him and Kaprizov, although they're wings, are acting almost as if like centers. So when you have big yes. lug like Victor Rask there, who can't skate? I mean, God bless him. He tries. But Victor Rask, I mean, for God's sakes, it's cinder blocks in the back of his skates watching him try to go up and down the ice. And even that, what, the first goal on Saturday or the second goal where he fans on the shot, it ends up on Kaprizov's stick and he scores. You know, like that was Victor Rask in a nutshell. Like, he's all alone on the high slot. He fans on the shot. I think he broke his stick on the play. And then it somehow winds up right back on Kaprizov, who buries it.
His stick shattered, and the puck just went to Kaprizov,
yeah.
who again, aware, you know, he was aware of the play, blasted the puck home. It was a great goal by Kaprizov, but yeah. But Victor Rask can do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long he stays on that line. Like, I think for the time being, he does for sure.
It's a time bomb.
Yeah, but it's not an ideal situation. But between those two, between Kaprizov, Zuccarello, it is so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And this is who we thought Mats was. And you know what? Heck, who knows? That the arm that he broke in his first... So the first game, he got traded at the deadline a couple of years ago from the Rangers to Dallas and was playing against the Blackhawks and blocked a shot, broke his arm. Perhaps it didn't recover correctly.
Mm-hmm.
They did. I believe they did surgery at that time, too. But anyway, the point being, when I saw the note from the Wild, Declan, in December that he was going to, or that he had had surgery on that arm again, which I believe was his right arm, I thought to myself, here we go again.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be another. And he has been, since the return from the COVID break, because he didn't play before that, I would say that he has been the piece of the puzzle, and I can't believe I'm saying this, he's been the piece of the puzzle that was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about how the lines came together after that. Before that, how much time on Judd's Hockey Show did we spend bemoaning the lines? And, you know, and I said, try Johansson at center. And you're like, I don't think so. And I said, but you got to do something. Like, because you basically had Greenway, Eriksson-Ek, Foligno. All right, last thing I want to give you, and this is a celebration of hockey right now, okay? I'm going to run through for you, because I tracked them, the overtime combinations used by the Wild on Saturday.
You're a madman, but yes, go ahead.
But, I mean, this is a celebration.
It is. It is a celebration.
Like, this is this is what we wanted. This is why I wanted all you people who had Nino jerseys to have to change them and Coyle jerseys to have to change them and Zucker jerseys to have to change them. And I wanted your number 9 jerseys to be mothballed. And you said, why, Judd? Why would you want that? They're such nice guys and it's a nice team. And I said, no. This is why.
Okay.
Overtime combination Saturday night.
Yep.
Started off. Not Kaprizov. This was sort of an intriguing thing. 3-on-3, Fiala, Eriksson-Ek, Brodin.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting one.
But Fiala, it's not like it's, oh boy, that's terrible.
No grape there.
Second group that came on, Kaprizov, Greenway, Spurgeon. Now, Greenway, I don't know that Greenway and Kaprizov fit great, but you know what? I'm not going to complain.
Don't care.
That group stays out for a while, and Kaprizov gets the breakaway in which he draws the penalty that made it 4-on-3 because they shift then to 4 skaters for the Wild. Eriksson-Ek, Fiala, Kaprizov, Spurgeon. And then the crew that scored, just as the power play probably came to an end or thereabouts, that scored the goal that gave the Wild a 4-3 victory, Greenway, Zuccarello, Dumba, Suter. Okay, now Ryan, I know, is
yeah.
The old standby, all right? But no Parisi, and no one in that group I gave you was the old, I can't believe this guy's playing.
Right.
Like, you might say, well, I'm not sure that's a perfect fit, or why wouldn't Kaprizov start? That's fine. But I don't think I gave you a name of a guy where you said, what? You know, and think about, Declan, think about how long this team needlessly spun its wheels in OT. Who's starting?
Stahl, Suter, Granlund. Not even.
It's a celebration of Coyle. Hockey. This is why those guys had to go. I still get that question.
It was
But what about Nino?
It was not a coincidence.
No, they all had to go.
It was not a coincidence that the Wild were the worst team in overtime in 3-on-3 up until this year. It's not a coincidence, guys. It was you didn't want them to go to overtime. You knew they were going to lose if they went into overtime because you have guys like Stahl and Koivu out there. Those guys can't skate.
But how long did we say that for? And how long did we see that for? And how long did we? That's the thing. If we had all come to the conclusion that that was a mistake, now I'd be like, well, I really didn't see it. How long did we spend pounding the table on? What are you doing? Why is Koivu playing?
I know.
Why is Zach playing?
Yeah, no, they
because they want to. We all want to do things.
They have the blueprint now for overtime success, and it's guys like Kaprizov and Fiala, and if Zuccarello's even out there and Dumba's out there, I mean,
but Zuccarello can skate. Like, I'm talking about guys that we said they really can't skate that well.
Yep.
Like, this would be the old Wild theory would be, let's start Rask.
Yeah. And also you have guys like, you have defensemen who can jump up into play. And I know Dumba has the hands there at the end of the overtime goal. I mean, that most defensemen, you know, there's only probably a few that have moves like that in front of their own net. But even throughout the course of that game, Judd, you saw numerous times guys like Brodin and Dumba jumping into the play, which is a dangerous situation when you have a defenseman who's going to say, I'm going to pinch and I'm going to go down low. That means the forward has to now cover my ass because if we can create an odd man rush the other way and it's going to be bad news bears.
Yes, sir.
But you saw that throughout the course of the game. So when Dumba's all alone and by the way, Captain Clutch, Matt, that's his sixth overtime goal. That's the franchise. I mean, he has scored six goals in overtime. Pretty remarkable when you think about it, especially when he's a defenseman. So the fact you have defensemen who can jump up into play like that, it makes things even that much easier. And yeah, the no-look pass from Zuccarello can't be outlooked either. I mean, that was a phenomenal play by him to set up Dumba. I didn't think there was any time left on the clock. I was a couple seltzers in at that point on Saturday night. I thought
a couple seltzers in, you say, huh?
Yeah.
A little Cronard seltzer?
I thought that was
actually, you know
back.
What's funny? Old school thing here. So it, and this stopped being important 15 years ago, I don't know, 20 years ago, I can't tell you, probably fewer years than that. The red light used to be very important.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just a ceremonial thing, right? Goal is scored. It's confirmed, obviously, by replay. But it used to be that the goal judge would sit behind the goal and turn on the light if the puck entirely crossed the goal line. And the referee would actually like talk to the goal judge. So like this used to be actually a key part of the game. Now, there is a situation where if a goal was scored with no time left, mm-hmm. so just like this goal, the goal judge would hit the goal light to have the red light turn on to indicate goal, but it would know that the clock had run out of time, and a green light would lock it out, meaning no goal. When Dumba scored, and they tried to trigger the now ceremonial red light, the green light came on. Now, because they can actually go back and they've got the replay synced up to the clock, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
But that was old school. That goal does not count.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. Even a few seltzers in, that goal would have had the green light because it couldn't read 0.2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
No goal.
Yeah. So that
old school, no goal.
I really thought it was going to come back. And then, by the way, the goal that came back against the Wild was the right call, the power play goal. That, you know, the Eck goal. I think the second one.
Oh yeah, because Jordan pushed the goaltender.
Yeah, that's well, interference.
And the referee lost sight of the puck. He just didn't blow his whistle.
Yeah,
there's no way a guy behind the net could see that puck.
Wild fans, seriously, like, look.
Did they complain?
Oh God, yes. Oh. There was fans complaining.
Jordan Greenway moved the goaltender.
That was textbook interference.
Calvin Peterson, right? He moved him.
He literally
But the goalie had the puck for a second.
Yeah.
The referee couldn't see it.
Yes.
You've got to blow your whistle.
Correct.
Did they really complain about that?
Oh, there's people that complain about
it. Oh, folks, get over it.
Come on.
All right, hold on.
Eric Sinek, to Fiala in the corner. He works free from McDermott. Centers. Eric Sinek. Saved by Quick. Eric Sinek again. He scores.
Statement time, but before that, Declan Goff, you have an exciting new opportunity for our listeners to jump on board.
All right, March. It's now March 1st, my friends. Thank God.
Can you believe it?
February is my least favorite month of the year. I know it's the shortest month of the year, but it's right up there.
Just because you're sort of scuffling? Yeah, I can see that.
I can't argue with you.
You
still have a little bit of a high of the new year.
It gets really cold still.
And it's an awkward month. Like, sometimes there's a 29th day. Like, what the hell? Like what do you mean?
13.
Why is your voice changes.
Hey, it's February.
There's 1 month out of the year where every 4 years we have to have an extra day with it. Why? Why is that a thing? But now it's March, and March means spring's around the corner, and there's good things happening. And here at Score North, March is Pick Your Prize Month. Every day between March 8th, so that's next Monday, every day between March 8th and March 26th, one person will win $100. Pretty awesome, right? $100?
$100 is not bad.
That's a lot of seltzers, in my opinion.
So every day between March 8th and March 26th?
Yep. Woo. And then that person will also be entered to win a $10,000 prize pack from one of our 9 partners here at Score North. Open the Score North app. This is how you do this, folks. Very easy. Very, very easy.
Can I do it?
Yep, you can. Well, you can't win.
I can't win, but could I do it?
You can register.
But I'm saying, could I?
Yeah.
Is it so simple that even Judd or like Royce could do it?
Can pull out his phone, and let me tell you, I have to. There's a lot of videos and things that I have to. Judd will call me. Declan, I need this on my phone. I don't know how the hell it works.
That's true.
And
that's absolutely
true, folks. And this is something that you can do. I know you can. So download the Score North app.
Okay.
Okay. Register. There's a little those little tabs says register, mm-hmm. and then enter the Pick Your Prize contest through the Listener Rewards link in the app. You can register daily, folks. You can register daily for this $100.
So all I want.
Yeah. All you want.
Nice.
And then obviously that person will also be entered to a $10,000. Can you imagine how many seltzers I can drink on $10,000?
$10,000
actually
could
my
buy
you,
you
know,
lots
I,
of seltzers.
I have
or lots of Kaprizov 97 jerseys.
That's true. I
by the throwback.
I have a meeting
retro.
With my accountant in a couple weeks, and I'm sure she's going to be seeing a lot of expenses to us. Like Declan, my God, like can you slow down the seltzer intake? Not just for your liver and you know your general health of living long, which is not on my side.
Yeah, I'm worried about you.
But also for your bank account. At the same time,
you're young.
There's a lot of great prizes. St. Croix Casino is on board. Corona Hard Seltzers, Wham Attack, Park Dental, Rosedale Center. There's plenty of great sponsors.
Whamatech, you said.
Whamatech.
So if my phone's busted and I'm having problems trying to sign up to win this, I go to Whamatech.
Yes.
I can get a new phone.
Yeah.
And I can sign up.
Yeah.
See how that works? It's so easy.
Also, Judd.
We love our sponsors.
The Corona Hard Seltzer, they are sponsoring the 2021 Sea-Doo Sparks Trick 3 Up Jet Ski. Let me say that again.
Yeah, say
the 2021 Sea-Doo Spark Tricks 3 Up Jet Ski. This thing looks badass. You got to get it. But don't drink and drive.
Yeah, no.
Don't mix, do that.
No, the people at Corona Hard Seltzer don't want you to do that.
But at the same time, there's a lot of great stuff on here. Check it out. ScoreNorth.com. Enter through Listening Rewards and hit the Pick Your Prize contest in the app.
And it's very exciting stuff, Declan Goff.
I appreciate it.
That made my Monday much better. It's statement time.
Statements. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Are we starting off? Who's starting off here?
You start.
I'm going to start. Okay, I couldn't tell.
I'm going to have you. You know what?
You had the Judd Zolgad dramatic pause.
I was trying
like
to decide. I was trying to decide who should start off. I wanted to create some drama. Ordinarily, I start, and then Phil goes, and then you go. But Phil not being here today caused me to rethink ball distribution, Rubio-like, and I thought I could either put up a flat statement, a flat shot, and it could clang. Or I could allow the Kirill Kaprizov of this show with a great salad to start off.
Wow, the Kirill Kaprizov. I kind of like the Kevin Fiala because I like playing pissed off behind the scenes.
I feel like you've got Kaprizov's hair.
Well, yeah, I have the great hair. I do have to get it cut. I have an appointment next Saturday.
I got mine cut.
Get it trimmed up a little
bit. My beard
trimmed
a couple
days
ago. No, actually, I don't look great.
All right, statements. I won't. It's not a haircut one.
All right.
So this statement is, you don't have to mortgage the farm, but you need to upgrade the furnace. What I mean by that, Mr. Judd Zolgad, as not the homeowner of the group here, is I'm talking to the Minnesota Wild. And although your team is playing very well right now, if I'm Bill Guerin, why would I add to this team? Team's firing on all cylinders, got four lines clicking, I got three defensive pairs who have great, arguably the best goaltending tandem in the league right now. Why would I, what would I buy? Why, I didn't go to the home improvement store? No. Billy, trust me here, buddy. The furnace keeps you warm at night, right? The furnace keeps you very warm.
As I learned when mine was broken about a month and a half ago.
Judd can speak on this a lot better than what happened to him last month.
Yeah, thank God it wasn't during the coldest part of the year.
At the same time, Judd had to fix that furnace because
I brought in some experts to do
it. Because he needed a better surrounding household. And that's just like the Minnesota Wild. They need to upgrade the furnace. You need to go get one more center. I'm not asking you to go get Jack Eichel. I would like to see it, but I'm not going to plead for you to do that. I'm not asking you to be in the Patrick Laine and the Pierre-Luc Dubois sweepstakes like at the beginning of the season where there was a bunch of stuff going on. I will have to have you pick up the phone and check that furnace to make sure that we are in the right position for the stretch run. So, Bill Guerin, you don't need to mortgage the farm. That's fine, but you need to upgrade your furnace. That is my first statement.
I wonder who they're going to get if they get a guy, because it isn't, I don't think they're going to get, I think you're right. I think they're not going to give up a ton right now to make a trade for a center. But if they want to make a run in the playoffs, they need one. Again, you know what this comes back to?
What's that?
This comes back to, and I think we talked about this on Judd's Hockey Show a few weeks ago. This comes back to the one great unknown about them, which is where does Bill Guerin see this team right now?
Yeah.
Like, does he look at it and say, oh my God, this is, you know, this team, Kaprizov, or does he say, yeah, you know, we're close, but there's still work to be done, and I can actually orchestrate a better trade after the season is done. And it also comes back to this, Dex, Dumba. Because, I mean, he is going to have to be a chip in that trade. I think he has to be. Unless it's a small unless it's a guy who you would consider a three or four, which they've got. But if you're going to get a top two or a top line, if you're going to get Victor Rask's replacement, who's going to be good, I think it's going to cost you Dumba.
It's going to cost you Dumba, or do you want to part back with Keon Addison, who, by the way, is playing well in Iowa.
And by the way, I don't.
Looks damn good.
And by the way, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
All right.
You're up, man.
Statement one.
What do you got for me?
Statement one.
Hit me.
In fact, there was a report from our guy, H. Lake of CCO, yesterday on Twitter about this. Real good guy.
Yep.
Very, very plugged in with local basketball officials and people. So
love me some Lake.
I'm sure he's right. But my statement is, if you can't beat Northwestern and Nebraska, Richard Pitino, you're going to have to pack your bags and go. This has become...
Nebraska's bad, right? Like, I don't follow Gopher hoops.
Northwestern and Nebraska are awful.
They didn't win a game since Christmas, right?
They
Northwestern?
Are awful.
Oh, my God.
In fact, I've got it right here for you, Declan.
All right.
Since you asked the question. Northwestern had lost 13 consecutive games before they came into the barn and won. Okay?
Okay.
The Cornhuskers had lost 5 in a row and 9 of 10 before they took a very big lead. The Gophers with Marcus Carr rallied, and I believe he scored 40. And yes, Gabe Kalischer, and yes, Liam Robbins are out. I don't care.
Look at our show. We're still functioning.
Yeah, and you got beat by two absolutely awful basketball teams. Richard Pitino, it's just done. It has to be done. And here's why. Yes, it's going to cost, and it's going to look bad when you're in the process of dropping three minor men sports. It's going to look bad to pay a buyout, which I believe is $1.7 million when Pitino gets fired, that he's going to have to be given a check to go away. But one, as our friend Doogie has said, that check is going to probably be written by a couple of boosters. So
yeah,
it's not going to come from your fund, your slush fund. And two, if you come back with Pitino as your coach in 2021-22, good luck in what's going to be an extremely competitive sports environment selling tickets. It's absolutely done. The other thing that's really damning, like there's lots of things here. And quit telling me Robbins and Kalischer are out. You lost it to horse bleep teams, okay?
Yeah.
Like you can give me, if you had lost back-to-back games to the Hawkeyes and Michigan, then I'm like, it does hurt. But you are losing to teams that you should beat with your bench. This season, the Gophers were 11-4 and 4-4 in the Big Ten, and since then have gone 2-8, including 5 consecutive losses, and they are now 13-12, and more importantly, with games against Penn State and Rutgers and the Big Ten tournament left, they are 6-12 in the conference. All right? Last season, the Gophers, if that sounds familiar, it should. Last season, the Gophers were 11-8 and 5-4 in the conference before going 3-8. So they only won 3 of their last 11 regular season Big Ten games to fall to 14-16 and 8-12 in the Big Ten. They beat Northwestern in game 1 of the Big Ten tourney, and then because of COVID, the season was canceled. But the point being is you have back-to-back just epic collapses.
Let me ask you this, because I think their peak ranking around mid-season, especially after the Michigan loss, I think the Gophers were about 15th, 16th in the country. Yeah. I don't know if they got any higher than that.
I think you posted that. ScoreNorth.com graphic.
Thank you.
Or ScoreNorth Twitter graphic.
Executive producer.
That's what an executive producer does.
What's more disappointing to you, Judd? This collapse, this second half collapse by the Gopher basketball team or the Gopher football team completely falling on its face this last season? What's more disappointing to you?
That's an excellent question, Declan Ding. Goff. Excellent question. I can't give you that, but it is a good question. You know what? I think it might be basketball.
Because
they were playing well. Look, they can't win road games, right? They're the only Big Ten team that has not won a road game, 0-9. But they beat Iowa at home, good team. Michigan, really good team. Purdue, Michigan State. So they had proven themselves to be good. The Big Ten football season to me was, because of COVID, so screwed up that I almost didn't, like, I paid attention, but I was like, well, guys aren't playing and this and that.
I hear you on that.
But
that makes sense.
But the Gophers were playing well, and I get it, the two guys are out, but when you lose to these two teams, mm-hmm. and for the second consecutive year, Dex, you just collapse, and Marcus Carr is playing, so it's not like your best player's out. I think I'm actually more disappointed in the fall, in-season fall, of the Gopher basketball team, because the football season to me was just so weird. Okay. So, you, what's your one?
You know,
what's your disappointment?
I'm obviously a St. Cloud Staker. I go Huskies. And I don't follow Gopher Athletics as much as other Minnesotans do. At the same time, I mean, the Gopher football team was supposed to be damn good, dude. Last year was the best Gopher football season of my lifetime by far.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close. I mean, the perennial Sun Bowls in 2003 was the other highlight of Gopher football.
It was disappointing.
Okay?
You're not wrong about that.
So I actually think it's more, because I don't think anyone's expecting Gopher basketball team midway through the season to be 15th in the country. Everyone kind of thought maybe a fringe top 25 team, maybe they sneak in. You would have pulled at anyone on January 1st, like, oh, yeah, the Gophers might be a 5 seed. There was talk when Lombardi would start putting out the first bracketology, the Gophers could be a 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah.
And now they might not even get an at-large bid.
And they're going to fire their coach.
Yep. So sorry.
Statement 2 from Declan Goff.
All right. Statement number 2. It's baseball is back. You have fresh cut grass, Judd. Crack of the bat. And you also have Byron Buxton crashing into walls. Baseball is back.
Now, somebody said that. I tweeted that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because on the radio broadcast early in that game yesterday, they said he crashed into the wall. I then got a note from a person saying, I saw the replay and he didn't.
So
I'm not quite sure.
There's a AP Images has a photo of him making a very nice catch right up against. I don't know if he crashed. He probably hit it.
Okay. That's
but
probably
at the
it,
same
yeah.
time,
I'm
look, spring training is back. There's fans in Florida, which is.
People are flying to Florida. Ugh. Florida's open for business.
Yes,
Ron DeSantis.
It is open for business.
I digress.
My
I'm
God.
Sorry.
But at the same time, baseball's back. Spring training is underway.
Don't go there.
That's phenomenal. It looks like we're going to get a baseball season that probably
that's in my notes too. By the way,
starts on time and
yeah.
And I know the Target Field's pushing for fans, 10,000 fans on opening day. We'll see if they were able to get to that mark. I want nothing more. There's no other sporting event I want to enjoy more than a $15 beverage, adult beverage in my hand.
I know you do.
Sitting in the stands.
I know, because that's what executive producers do. They buy expensive beers.
If I'm freezing my arse off at Target Field and it's still 45 degrees on, April 10th when the Twins, whenever the hell it is, they play their first home game.
Yes, sir.
I want that to happen. So, yes, baseball is back. I want to hear all those smells. I want to see Byron Buxton hopefully stay healthy, for God's sakes. But I'm glad baseball's back.
I am glad that you transitioned to the Twins and baseball, because I have a statement as well, and it's purely selfish. It has nothing to do with the product on the field on Sunday. It has to do with how Judd Zolgad was impacted by that, okay?
Classic, yep.
And it's this. The Twins' first spring training game should always, always be televised.
Yeah.
It's 2021. Announcers can work. I don't care if they're at the ballpark. I don't care if it's a simulcast off of what CCO is doing. I don't care if Bramer and Morneau are back here in a studio. But Fox Sports North, give me the damn video feed from spring training one. I pay far too much for cable for you not to televise that game, okay?
Yeah.
You said it yourself, Dex. Green grass. The ball field.
Buxton crashing.
Everything is, but I mean, spring training game one basically is like pumping sports hope into your veins, right?
Yeah.
Like you need, it's oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
It's oxygen. And you might not watch the whole thing, and I don't care. You know who writes the checkout to Xfinity? I do.
Mr. Zolgad.
Dawn does, okay? Do you know what I want? I want all my sports, and especially because I am not dropping cable, Fox Sports North. Here's my thing. You're compromised now. I don't care, Sinclair. Carry everything. Like, I'm paying you huge money. Carry everything. That's why I get cable, okay? Spring training game one is the oxygen of baseball. And I wanted to, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to duck in yesterday and watch at least the first three innings of that game and see the Red Sox and the Twins.
Yeah, man.
And it was on radio, and they're not televising a game till Wednesday. And by the way, I saw a note. The Angels are televising, and it's a Fox Sports affiliate, too. I'm sure soon to be a Bally Sports West. They are televising every spring training game. All right? I want you to basically damn near do the same, and I don't care about your production costs.
Yeah.
I don't care about your production costs because I'm paying you a lot to do this. I want the Wolves. I want the Wild. I want the Twins, and I want that first spring training game. That was one of the things that drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, we can't reach agreements with this and that and with blah, blah. Well, then show the damn game.
Yeah. I hear you, man. It stinks. I mean, I have my own resources now to watch games. And, hey, I'm excited to watch Wild play Vegas tonight because I haven't heard the Vegas announcers before. So I hear what the Vegas announcers sound like. You know, I have this great option because with Sinclair screwing me, I now get to watch all the opposing
broadcasts. You know what they don't sound like? They don't sound like this.
Kaprizov fights off the check.
Ficarello?
Out to the line, Brodin, a drive.
Rask.
Got through, save quick. Kaprizov on the right road. He scores!
Oh, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Statement three. These calls are why I think, did we talk about this on?
I may have talked about it on the one-timer on Friday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
The Dumba goal, which I didn't play. The Dumba goal is why I request that LaPanta tone down some, not all, some calls. Because the problem is he goes so over the top on almost every Wild goal.
Yeah.
How do you then take the Dumba goal, which, by the way, deserves the special treatment?
Yes,
like,
it does.
That deserves the special sauce, right?
Yes, it does.
Like the unbelievable, you know. How do you do that when every goal call is over the top?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I requested. Bring down some of the goal calls
sure.
so that when we get the big one,
yep.
it can hit the right seismic level
Ooh,
of
seismic.
Goal call.
Good word there.
All right. Statement three from you.
Statement three for me. It's not really a sports one. It's just more of I am ready for spring. So it's March 1st. I am born and bred in this state. I have spent my entire 28 years of existence in this state, here in the Twin Cities or in St. Cloud during a period of my life. But at the same time, I know. We are not close to being done with winter.
We'll get another snowstorm.
That we are going to get a snow in March.
Yeah, but it's going to
warm
up.
We're going to get a snow in April. And we're going to get a snow between March or between May 1st and May 5th. It happens every year of my damn life. I'm well aware.
Are the Twins home?
We are not through winter. I'm well aware of it. But this weekend, I was able to get outside. I was able to walk around 45 degrees, minimal coat, no gloves, no hat. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed just being able to walk around. You tweeted at me and said, you know what's even warmer? What, you were watching the Devils and Caps? Is that what you
yeah,
were watching?
On my couch, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
you
great.
And,
Saturday.
And, you
know,
was... Meanwhile, me and Stella were outside causing hell.
No, Stella was with me.
Oh, Stella was with you.
Oh, she had
she had it on Friday night?
She had the Caps. No, she had the Caps and a substantial bet.
Oh, wow. She's a better, huh?
Oh, she bets on sports
all
the time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I avoid betting.
My dog. That's a lot.
But I am ready for spring, man, and I know we are still not through this. Today it's a little colder. We got some snow on Saturday night and lingered into Sunday.
It gets back into the
40s and 50s. I can't tell you how good 45 and 50 degrees feels
like
when
move.
I'm able to walk outside. Yes, seriously. I mean, we suffer through this frozen hell for 8 weeks of the year because our summers are great. So I am ready for summer. I'm ready for spring. We don't really have a spring in Minnesota. I like to call it muck. It's muck season. It's gross and it's wet and there's puddles everywhere and there's the melted snow and then all of a sudden, bam,
yeah, but
it's
a
summer.
Nice spring day is great.
It is. It's elite. So I am ready for spring. That is my third and final statement in the edition of Weekend.
Oh, I've got a couple more for you.
Oh, my God. Well,
I've got a couple more for you.
You're half a show. Your show.
You're half a show. You're the executive producer.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just.
You're half
what
of the
am
show.
I? Just all.
Yeah, you're all good. I told the boys on Ventline yesterday, we had a Ventline episode.
Oh, yeah.
On
that
Daily
that sounded like it was real good.
Yeah. And I told them, I said, look, Mackie and Judd are so, you know, they're so far up there, you know what. They have their own show with their own name on it. You know, I'm not going to call Declan's Ventline. I'm not going to put
billboards.
My name on it.
We once had billboards.
Not Homer's. Hometown guys, right?
And Ballsy, too.
I love the Ballsy
That campaign. Got taken down.
Yeah, that got one. That didn't go far. But anyway, yes, those are my statements.
Wolves statements for me.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Well, I've got two of them, but I'm going to start off with one that you're going to like.
You better go with my guy.
But you're not going to like, but I think you might rant. So,
you better.
Okay. My statements to the Wolves are actually two people, or they're four people. So I'm going to give this, and statement one is for Chris Finch, okay? New Wolves coach. Chris, I'm sure you tuned into the podcast now. You're told it's very popular.
Yeah.
Chris, Jaden McDaniels has to play more than 8 minutes and 45 seconds in a game. And I understand that you said that you're trying different things and you're new, and I totally get that, okay? But you got blown out after being essentially blown out in the second half at Washington on Saturday. You got blown out by Phoenix at Target Center last night. And I understand that you're trying to look at players. Completely get it. Jaden McDaniels, though, doesn't deserve to pay the minutes price for that. Declan's guy.
And my guy.
You were on Jaden McDaniels like when the season started.
Early.
So this is not a you saw him play a lot and thought he should play. You were telling me on a Mackie and Jed, I think that we did without Phil, Jaden McDaniels has to play more. Anyway, statement. You're right. 8:45 in a blowout loss to the Suns is ridiculous.
Here's the genius Chris Finch and why Jaden McDaniels didn't play much last night.
Losing Cat, and then just, you know, a little bit of kind of misfortune here, whether it be ours, turnovers, or
wrong clip. That was Mike Beasley from the other weekend. Anyway, I'll find the clip. But yes, Jaden McDaniels, for God's sakes, 28th overall pick, he was a steal. He was supposed to be a lottery pick, Judd. He was supposed to be a lottery pick going into the college basketball season. And now all of a sudden, Chris Finch comes in here, and my God, I bet he is wishing he probably didn't take this job. I don't blame him either. That you bury Jaden McDaniels. Malik Beasley's out too, by the way. I mean, you're not going to see him for a couple
of
weeks.
Found that out on Friday.
So at the same time, the Wolves are the worst team in the NBA right now. There's zero reason why Jaden McDaniels should not be playing 20 minutes a night.
Jared Culver played 9:06.
Right.
Jared Culver played more than McDaniels.
That's absurd. That's unacceptable. That's completely unacceptable.
The only guy that played, who got in the game last night that played less than Jaden was Hernan Gomez, played 7:06. Okay, so that's statement one. Statement two goes to the old savvy veteran point guard, Ricky Rubio, okay? Oh, and it's a very simple statement. Ricky, I know you listen. You can't lead if you're not good, all right? So they put Ricky, and God bless him, he does these post-game Zooms all the time because I think he feels responsible for, like, I'm the guy and I should, now it should be Cat. And when Cat talks, he's fantastic. So no slam against Cat. But Ricky does the post-game Zooms a lot. And I'm going to read you a quote. And I want your reaction to how it feels sincere, but how much weight this carries based off who he is now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
It's a quote from the piece that Chris Hine did in today's Star Tribune, or at least on StarTribune.com. Ricky said, there's a lot of things we have to figure out and correct and get better. Okay, he's right so far. Quote, we got to start somewhere, and hopefully the next few days we fix that. It's more on us to compete in every game. Start with everybody. Cat, Ant, me, got to lead out there. Everybody's got to do a better job. Okay? None of that's wrong. He's 100% correct.
Correct.
But he's not good. So it carries no weight. Like, you can't be... I know what he's trying to do, and if he was a good player still, it would be perfect. But he's basically trying to lead without being good enough to lead. Unless that statement comes from Cat, basically, I don't care.
Okay.
So, like, Ricky can say all he wants about we need, because my comeback is Ricky, you got to figure out your own game. Personally, I just think it didn't work, and I would try, and I know that Russell's not playing, but I think at some point in time, you probably have to try and move on as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Because Ricky, the whole thing is it doesn't work. And I don't know, on this team, with as bad as this team is and where the future should be going, Declan,
yeah,
I don't know what his role is. Like, I watch him play, And yes, he'll knock down some shots, but then he gets like emboldened to take more shots, and he's got that flat, terrible shot, and I know my shot is worse. That's not the point. The point is he's paid to play, and I'm not. So I just don't know where this is going, but I do know this. The whole idea of Ryan's the coach, he's close with Ricky. Ricky's going to come in and sort of like lead and help out has fallen completely flat.
Yeah. Look, March 25th is the NBA trade deadline. Ricky Rubio was brought in here to be a nice veteran voice. And you know what? And I know you're critical of him not being a good player. I hear you. I get that. But what he's been able to bring off the court is he's hitting those needs. He's satisfying those needs. I know there might be some fraudulent to the comments because he's no longer.
Well, and it's not his fault. He's not good.
He's just not. Well, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if, you know, because ever
old.
Since.
He looks cooked.
But when he was in Phoenix and Utah, he finally blossomed into the player everyone thought he would be.
I know. But there's no way that his style, there's no way that the game he plays is going in the direction that Chris Finch will.
Sure.
And D'Lo is going to come back eventually. Yeah. McLaughlin can play a backup. I'm just saying the whole goal, I think, was to bring Ricky in and have him sort of team with Ryan and give you this veteran guy who obviously was very close with the coach and gelled. And it's just sort of blown up.
Yeah, I think on the March 25th deadline, he probably goes. He still has one more year left, too, on his contract.
And he could probably help a team off the bench. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the problem is. I just know this doesn't work.
Go to the Clippers. Clippers need a point guard.
And I admire the fact that he jumps on these post-game Zooms, which he does not have to do, and takes accountability.
Yeah.
You can't play like he's playing and be the voice.
No.
You just can't. I'm not ripping him for what he's trying to do. He's right to try and do it. It just carries no weight.
I hear you.
Like if I'm a player, I'm like, dude, what? Why? Yeah. You're not good. Like seriously, you're just not that good.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad, but nothing that Gerson Rosas tried to do for 2021 has worked.
All right.
Right?
Yep.
Nothing's worked.
I have a statement for you because it's a semi-breaking news.
Oh, nice.
Here on Mackey and Judd. Do I have a breaking news sounder available as I try to? Here we go. I got one.
Okay. I was going to say, I found it. I found it for you.
Breaking news statement. As we're really recording this at 11:05 on a Monday. Minnesota Wild goaltender Alex Stalock. He has been claimed by the Edmonton Oilers, so the South St. Paul native.
Oh, they did claim him. Oh, I thought a Canadian team wouldn't claim him because of the time that he had to go into COVID protocols. Yeah.
So Edmonton claims Alex Stalock. Mm. This gives the Wild some salary cap relief. Hey, they get about 400. They almost get 500K cleared in salary cap relief. Edmonton has been looking for a goaltender forever. And Alex Stalock is being buried right now with Kapo playing very well, Cam Talbot playing well. No surprise. And look, Al was dealing with some health stuff, I believe, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Wish him the best. I hope he's able to find success in Edmonton. But my breaking news statement, Alex Stalock, the South St. Paul native, who filled in admirably last season, by the way.
Yes, he did a nice job. And by the way, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yes. One of the nicest guys. Very good dude. Also, he would like to be he's a sixth player on the ice for you. He can literally move the puck probably as good as any goaltender in the league.
Interesting.
So Alex Stalock heading to Edmonton.
So they've got Koskinen and Mike Smith. Oh. And Smith was hurt to start the season. And so Koskinen basically played every night.
Yep.
And he is not geared to play every night. I mean, that's a tough, that's a tall task for an elite goalie, especially with the schedule the teams are playing now.
Yep.
So that is intriguing. And so I believe because of what you mentioned with the protocols, I think he has to sit out now Stalock has to sit for two more weeks in Edmonton. Actually, that leads to perfectly dovetails a final statement from me.
Okay. Hit me.
So the goal in signing Stalock originally, when it was done 2 years ago now, is that right? Year and a half ago? Anyway. The goal was to have him be the goaltender that was exposed in the expansion draft,
yeah,
which is now going to be July of 2021, to the Kraken.
Mm-hmm. Great name.
That has changed dramatically, and my statement is this.
Okay.
The Wild is going to need to make Kaapo Kakkonen the goalie they protect in the expansion draft with Seattle, not Cam Talbot, and here's why. I think of their goaltender choices from around the league that they almost certainly won't take Talbot, I don't think. If Kakkonen is available, he is a really, he's showing a lot, young goaltender. I think they take him, quite possibly.
Yeah.
And so I now have shifted from, despite the fact that Talbot is going to be considered your top goaltender, I actually protect Kapo based on what I think Seattle would do, and I expose Cam Talbot because you can only protect one goaltender.
Okay, but and not to poo-poo it, but I think because he's only a first and second year player, I believe he's exempt. I don't think he even can be exposed.
No, I actually looked that up.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So he can be exposed.
He can be exposed and has to be. And so the problem there is, I think it might be tempting.
Yeah.
And I don't know, because they're going to have their choice of some pretty good, not great, but good goalies potentially.
Yes.
Well, hell, they could take Fleury possibly too. Mm-hmm. And put him on an expansion team for the second time in his career.
I think he's...
point is,
go for it.
With the way the Kakkonen's played,
yep.
I protect him now. I really like him.
Yeah.
I like him, and I think he's improving.
I think he's a very solid goaltender. And look, last year he showed flashes. He was the AHL goalie of the year. And there were some scouts say, well, he's good. I don't think he's a number one. That's what a lot of scouts said going into the season.
Yes.
And look, that might still be true. He might not be a true number one, but I can tell you right now, he looks damn comfortable. And goalies is a crapshoot, people. Goalies, it projecting. Look at Darcy Kuemper. Darcy Kuemper was an absolute mess here. You know why? Because he was young. He was thrown into the fire. He wasn't ready. And now, Darcy Kuemper, maybe a fringe top 10 goalie in the NHL right now. It takes time for these guys.
Yes.
And Talbot.
Yes.
I'm glad he looked great on Friday. Our friend of the show, Patrick Donnelly, cursed him not getting that damn shutout. Patrick, if you're listening, I'm still blaming you. At the same time,
Patrick's
Talbot,
old
Talbot's
like me.
Good.
He doesn't care about those stupid
rules.
Good
for him, by the way. I'm just busting his chops a little bit, but at the same time, I think that's excellent. So, yes, Talbot, Kapo, I think at this point you have to, because Talbot's up there in age. Also, the salary cap. You have to figure out how you're going to free up some cap to make some hay.
Stay a lot gone, huh? Oilers, very cold
Oilers.
Up there. Very, very cold,
Edmonton,
just like here.
God. Yeah.
All right, we're done. Phil will be back for Tuesday's show. I'm sure we'll have more to discuss. His thoughts also as we delve into, by the way, as the week progresses, more and more Twins discussion, because you're not going to get better Twins coverage anywhere else. We are going to provide you with plenty of Twins reckless speculation as well. He is executive producer Declan Goff.
Okay.
I am Judd Zolgad. We'll talk to you soon.